Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Back in here on Cody and Gold, 96.5 The Fan. Might end up with an extra guest today, Drew. Coming up at 11:35, we've got former NFL quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Knew that one.
Coming up at 12:30, we have our Chiefs insider, Nate Taylor.
Okay.
As you know, Joshua Briscoe is going to come in and co-host.
3 for 3.
From noon to 2. Our good friend Vinny Pasquantino is offering up potentially his NFL insider services later in the show.
I thought he was off this week.
Well, so he's in town. He had to get, as he told us last week, he had to get a plate removed from his thumb.
Yeah, that's right.
Must be bored at the hospital, man. I don't know. said he's down. So we got to work out of time. But like our NFL insider, it's a Tuesday.
All right.
Traditional time he comes on the show. So, you know, we'll see. We'll be in a holding pattern, but he might be able to join us later in the show as well. But we at least got that somewhat sorted out, which is good. Briscoe coming up in an hour. He'll join me for the final 2 hours of the show. And then we can talk more about it. I see the text line says, Arch Manning's better than Rudemaker. Come on. Okay. I agree with your assessment, but I want to be clear that we're letting 50 people decide. Let me just ask a question. Had Arch Manning never played a single snap for Texas, in which he's only played in 2 games against bad opponents, had he never played a snap for Texas, do you want to think about it? This is your school. Do you want 50 strangers in a room deciding which backup they think is better? Just real quick. Do you think they all grinded the high school tape? No.
And it also doesn't matter.
Making a snap judgment. And it doesn't matter. He's the backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stupid way to decide it. You set the standard. Maybe Texas doesn't go from 3rd to 14th and is out of the thing, but maybe they should go from 3rd to 7th, 3rd to 8th if it is their backup quarterback. I don't understand if that was the standard set that it shouldn't remain that way.
Yeah, it is interesting when you look at the comparison of the two, because Rodemaker won games. Like, they won games, like big games, with Tate Rodemaker. I know that it might have not looked great, but they won the games.
Correct.
If they would have won the games ugly with Jordan Travis, would it have been any different?
The committee's telling you no.
Because to me, if Jordan Travis wins, if he beats Louisville and it's 16-16, just like it was with Tate Rodemaker, and it's ugly and it's nasty, the conversation is way different because Jordan Travis is in there, a quarterback. I think you could argue it should be the same with Arch Manning versus Quinn Ewers.
I agree. Look, they should at least be knocked some. They shouldn't just get to keep their spot with the backup quarterback.
Yeah, they haven't even looked that good anyways.
That wasn't the standard you had set before. All right, so I think there's an obvious thing about the Chiefs' defense, and it's that the pass rush is bad. I know that we all know that. They rank 26th in sacks per game. Chris Jones hasn't had a sack in 7 weeks. Their leading sack guy through 11 games is George Karloftis, who only has 4. So, like, right now, as it sets, their 2 leading sack guys would finish the season with, let's do some quick math here. Probably should have done this before the segment. Let's just do some quick math here. Drew, let's... George Karloftis would... He's pacing for 6 sacks on the season. And Chris Jones is pacing for 4.5.
Forget Chris Jones. Do you remember what the conversation was before the season regarding George Karloftis? Is can he elevate... Because what did he have? 13.5 last year?
Yes.
Can he elevate to be that 15 sack guy?
10.5. They both had 10.5.
Oh, okay.
Chris Jones and Karloftis both had 10.5.
Can he get the 13 sacks, I think is what the number was or whatever. He's on pace to not even get half.
Yeah. So he's on pace to get 6.
Wow.
And Chris Jones on pace to be 4.5. And those would be their 2 leading sack guys in the NFL. I guess what is most confusing to me about this is, why are they bad? Like, this is a thing that actually confounds me, and I will ask to Joshua Briscoe, and I will ask this later to Nate Taylor, and maybe our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, if he's able to join us later. Why are they bad? It is the identical unit. Chris Jones, George Karloftis, Mike Dana, Turk Wharton, Felix Anudike-Uzama. It is the same players. How do they go from being second in the NFL in sacks last year, third in the NFL in sacks 3 years ago, to 26th when it is the identical players on the team? Right? I mean, help me understand. Because that is the thing where, like, maybe I talk myself into false hope, Drew, or some false narrative. I am convinced that the pass rush can be better. Convinced it can be better.
Well, because we saw it last year with the same crew. I know that we've talked about this a little bit yesterday, and going back to last year, you know, the conversation, and we talked about it when we did yesterday, is the covered sacks. You mentioned it earlier. The L'Jarius Sneed effect of, not only is it Trent McDuffie, but it's L'Jarius Sneed. They're covering everybody better down the field. The Willie Gay effect, not having Willie Gay covering the tight ends. Like, all of it is, it's not one massive thing, I guess, Cody, but it's a couple of things that factor into what helped the pass rush maybe last year isn't helping it this year. And now we're seeing it get exposed a little bit more for what it is, where they just can't. They brought back all the same personnel, but maybe not that their talent was covered up or they're not as good, but
like, just
they are is more evident now because they don't have L'Jarius Sneed. They don't have Willie Gay. The coverage is not the same as what it was last year.
L'Jarius Sneed, like, just one player? One player? One corner?
Maybe.
Makes them from third to 26th? That's crazy.
I think it's just the Willie Gay stuff too, where you have Nick Bolton trying to guard tight ends, and that's been a focal point of, hey, he struggled a little bit this year. The cornerback two spot, they've struggled this year in terms of moving the ball. The quarterback for the other team doesn't have to wait as long.
Maybe
the ball's just getting out quicker.
Is it? Yeah, maybe it's an adjustment. They're just throwing against the corners quicker.
That might also be what it is, because they don't want Chris Jones wrecking the game. They try to design the offense to get the ball out faster. I don't know.
From the 913, Chris Jones has slowed down. That's what they think the answer is. Chris Jones currently ranks top 10 in the NFL at pressure rate. So, like,
and he's taking double teams on, man, all the time.
Sometimes triple.
Yeah.
So, like, I will say, like, from where we're, like, statistically, a lot of things support that Chris Jones still kind of the same dude, except for he hasn't gotten the sacks this year, which is not unimportant. He is way overdue for a sack. Dude, 7 weeks, 7 weeks for Chris Jones? That's a chasm. That's a nightmarishly long time without a sack for him. But I'm just, like, you understand what I'm saying. It doesn't actually make sense. Now, I'll say there's two things that stand out in this. One, Mike Dana hasn't been healthy. So for the first half of the season, I would say, he hasn't been healthy. So they're a short a man. Last year, for the second half of the season, they had Charles Omenihu, who is not with the team yet. Hopefully maybe come back this week, next week. We'll see. Should be back soon. His practice one has been open. He's been playing. So, okay. There's that. So, like, but could those two players, could Mike Dana just being healthy and Charles Omenihu coming back be the difference between them going from 26th to 15th the rest of the way? And I'm not saying getting to 15th. Does that make sense? Just being the 15th best sack team the rest of the way. Because that realistically would solve, I'll be honest, a fair amount of their problems on defense as it sits right now. More sacks means less pressure on Nazi Johnson, less pressure on Joshua Williams, and covers up a lot of these things. So if you think that those two guys can cover the difference, well then, yeah, we're good. Right? Then everything's fine. And so, like, that's really what makes the difference, I guess, in my end, is that if you do this, then you can probably cover, because it shouldn't fundamentally be this much worse because Willie Gay and L'Jarius Sneed are gone. The pass rushers are the pass rushers. They were all pretty effective last year.
Yeah, but wasn't
why?
But wasn't one of the
Chris Jones would actually make sense.
I thought the conversation last year, though, was some of it, I remember, I don't remember who it was, but we had the conversation on the show of who's more responsible for the dominance of who's more responsible for the sacks. Is this defensive front just that good and other offenses can't do anything? Or is the coverage so good from Trent McDuffie and Legarius team where they're locking guys down, where it's the quarterback's got to hold onto the ball a little bit longer, which in turn allows for Chris Jones to get off of that double team, or allows for a breakdown in pressure, or allows for the quarterback to make a mistake and step up into the pocket into a sack or one of those things. I don't know if it's necessarily one thing or if I'm trying to go through the process of trying to make sense of your question, because a lot of it, to your point, they brought back literally the exact same
crew. On paper, it's like makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm trying to explain it out to be that way. I do wonder, though, as well, just the Charles Amenihu's impact. We know he's going to come back and he's going to be effective, and we know he's got the motivation. And somebody was asking about the recovery process. He tore his ACL, what was it, in January? It's 10 months in. Typically, that's a little bit longer, actually, now in some cases for an ACL recovery to even be fully ready to go. So I think he's going to be fine, but is it enough? How much of an impact do you think he can even have, Cody? Is Charles Amenihu enough to get them to be 15th? The rest of the way?
I mean, he can't be enough to do that. The other guys have to perform better, too.
Yeah.
But does he put enough pressure that Karloftis's now job's easier, mm-hmm. so he performs better, and that means Chris Jones' job's easier? Like, can he be the domino? Like, but they were a good... I'll say this. Charles Amenihu missed the first 6 weeks last season.
He was a dog when he got in.
Yeah, he was really great. But they weren't a bad pass rush unit when he wasn't there.
No,
They were still a top 10 pass rush unit when he didn't exist. They were just like the best pass, you know, like the second best pass rush unit when we came back. They weren't bad before Charles Amenihu was gone. Like some of this is just like the math doesn't math. Like there's no logical reason why this team had gone from second and third best pass rush unit to 26th with the same players.
Now, I do wonder if stylistically teams are learning how to attack the defense a little bit differently. I do think, in large part, the pass rush late in games, and maybe this is part of the reason why the defense hasn't been as good late in games, is they're not able to get home. You know, every now and then, like last year, we would see often if the defense made a play, it wasn't a forced turnover necessarily. It was pressure. It was a sack. It was a big play by somebody to get a sack, force a 4th and 15, 4th and 20, and they got off the field when they needed to most. Somebody from the 785 does mention, and ask a valid question, is Josh Uche ever going to make a difference? Because coming in, like, his snap count isn't even high. He isn't even getting out there. And you can look at it.
And there
I
doesn't
think,
seem like any loss here, because it's not like they're getting pressure from someone else.
Well, I was going to say, and it's not like DeAndre Hopkins in his case, where maybe he's still learning the playbook and all of those things. You know, Uche's not able to get out there. Is there, like, what exactly is the reasoning behind that? Are they, you know, I think that, and I know that you're not supposed to expect Joshua Uche to make like the ultimate difference or as much of a difference as Charles Amenihu, but it's supposed to help at least a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's supposed to. But like that, it honestly confuses me a little. More than anything else, I'm just like, I don't even know what to make of it. This Friday, by the way, does begin the schedule nonsense. I am told, by the way, coming up in just a couple minutes, our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, will be joining us on the phone. So we're back-to-back.
Nice.
Guess Vinny is our NFL insider. Then we'll have Ryan Fitzpatrick. We're going to get you covered before Joshua Briscoe shows up here at noon. But this Friday begins the nonsense, dude. Did you look at the schedule? They play on Friday, Black Friday. Then they play on a Sunday. All right, nice. Not bad. But then the following Sunday, they also play on Sunday, but that begins the three times in 11-day stretch, where they also play Saturday against the Texans and Wednesday on Christmas Day against the Steelers. Like, this is the beginning of the prepare yourself for the schedule nonsense the rest of the
way. Are you a little bit worried, given how the teams looked? Or are you more worried
now? I don't think an inconsistent schedule is going to be good for them at this particular time yet. I think it's at least worth one loss, if we're being honest.
Okay.
I think the weirdo schedule is going to cost them at least one. This goes back to the same thing, where the Chiefs do need Buffalo to lose or find losses. They don't play this weekend, but their next three games are against teams that historically could at least try and beat you. Brock Purdy's outlook is looking better. They just got their ass kicked, but they have the backup quarterback. The Rams are usually competitive, although they just got beat pretty bad by the Eagles. And then the Lions are the next three games for the Buffalo Bills. But yeah, I'd be lying to you if I didn't say a Friday, Sunday, Sunday, Saturday, Wednesday didn't concern me.
Yeah,
you're going to get more games not on Sunday than on Sunday the next 5 weeks for Chiefs fans.
That's crazy. It just turns into, I guess there's more room for things to go wrong, where last year's team, as I don't know, Cody. Somebody, I know you brought up the conversation we had last. Like, not that I'd feel more comfortable with last year's team, but maybe it's just given the way that the defense has played. I feel like there's a game in there where there's more that can go wrong, it feels like, with this team in that span. Where, not that there couldn't last year, but you felt more confident because the defense was so sound and so elite that even if something did go a little bit haywire, that the defense would be able to lock in and they would always be elite, you know?
I will say that this Friday helps the Chiefs more than it helps the other team, because the other team lost their starting quarterback on Sunday and now has to get Aiden O'Connell, who has been on the injured reserve list, up to speed by Friday. Drew, that's not nothing, right? That's not entirely unimportant, at least on this end. And so, yeah, they have a bigger challenge getting themselves ready for this week than others. And he knows how to handle a short week. And technically, he'll get a long week after this game before they take on, you know, their next couple of opponents. But it's like, it's just the beginning of the schedule nonsense. When we looked ahead in the year, we knew the, like, Thursday night opener or some of these other ones that are kind of sprinkled in there. But it's been pretty static there for a little bit. And now we're getting ready to go to just nonsense. At least you get net rest over the Chargers as a result of playing this Friday.
That'll be nice.
You get a couple of extra days on your division opponent. I don't think that's going to hurt anything. And one of the short week games you're getting is against Cleveland. So, you know, that's Sunday to Sunday. But I mean, yeah, they're getting ready to play more times not on Sunday than on Sunday. So I guess just prepare accordingly is all I'm telling you.
Welcome to the NFL in 2024. You know, who'd have thought this? 10 years ago?
Yeah. If you have a time slot and the Chiefs haven't played in it, then you're in a completely different ballpark.
What was the day that they haven't played yet? They played every day but what? Or have
Tuesday?
I think
they'll play every day but Tuesday. By the time the season's done, they haven't played Wednesday yet, but they'll play that on Christmas Day.
They have played on Tuesday before, though. Like they've played the Bills
on Tuesday in the middle of COVID.
Right. Okay. They're the only team to have done that, obviously, because nobody else has done that.
Sorry, I was keeping an eye on the phone.
I am as well. We are now. Ever since you mentioned Vinny potentially joining the show, it's the anticipation is building.
You know, we like to make sure.
Yeah, you have to text him that. We're all anticipating.
We're all
Vinny
eagerly awaiting Vinny's arrival. I thought it was worth noting because at least it adds an extra challenge to it. The Aiden O'Connell thing. Anybody getting PTSD flashback?
You
from
can't.
Last year.
There's no way.
You can't? He's a bad quarterback, dude. He completed one pass in the second half.
I know, but he isn't the reason they won. It's not like, oh no, Aiden O'Connell torched the Chiefs and he's the reason why they won. Aiden O'Connell's not the reason they won the game last year, I don't think. So I don't know if it can worry you as
much. The pick six at the beginning of the second half is the reason why they won the game.
If anything, you might even feel better that it is Aiden O'Connell and not Gardner Minshew.
There's no reason why they're not going to go. At this point, I mean, the Raiders, they're a laughing stock. They're like the one just miserably bad team in the division.
Yeah, they're not good.
Dude, they're currently picking second overall. I'm glad it's Aiden O'Connell. I'd actually rather face him probably than Desmond Ridder.
I know. You're going as far as to say Desmond Ridder now.
I mean, he's technically the backup quarterback in this game.
Yeah.
Gardner Minshew's the actual quarterback you should fear. He's a quarterback who can at least beat you.
Oh, yeah. And you said he broke his collarbone, right? That was...
Yeah. So he's done for the year. They're down to eight. Tom Pelissero reported this morning, by the way, it's going to be Aiden O'Connell, or at least that's how they're preparing. Unless something changes sometime later in the week, that's how they're preparing.
Okay.
But yeah, I just like, I cannot for the life of me live in fear of Aiden O'Connell. Okay.
And no, if you are fearing Aiden O'Connell, you are down bad.
I mean,
you are very stressed out.
Yeah. Yeah. Drew, why don't you go ahead and give, I don't know. I was going to tell you to call Vinny, but he said, do you want me to call in? And then do we normally call Vinny?
We do normally call Vinny.
Okay. You want to give Vinny a call?
I can do that.
That's probably on us. That way we can give ourselves a couple minutes with Vinny Pasquantino. Coming up in 10 minutes, we will have Ryan Fitzpatrick join us. He'll talk to us. He's going to be covering the game as we coming up in loss or for Prime coming up this Friday against the Las Vegas Raiders. So we'll get to him in about 10 minutes. We'll hear from Patrick Mahomes later in the show as well. But joining us now, our VinFL insider. We'll skip the intro for today, Drew, so we can get to Vinny, who's in town. Aren't you in town, Vinny?
Just walked into the Lowe's Hotel. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I gotcha.
I just walked into the Lowe's Hotel.
Ooh.
Hanging out, you know, just doing my thing.
So did you have to have a, like, you no longer have, like, metal in your hand? Is that what's going on?
I no longer have metal in my hand. I had the surgery this morning. Everything went great. Let's see. I have the metal plate, though. I have it.
You kept it?
I kept it. That's going on the mantle.
I was like, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It seems like a pretty cool thing. That helped me play a little quicker, so I'm pumped with it. Now I don't have any metal in me anymore.
Do you, last night in the game, Vinny, because I want to get straight to the NFL, do you take the Ravens more seriously for beating the Chargers? That game moved the needle for you at all last night?
No.
It didn't
nothing
for
really
me either.
Moves the needle for me, though. It's just, that was a good game. It's a good football game. But they're a good team. I don't know. I'm not really down on them. I don't know if the Chargers are fantastic either. I don't think there's a whole lot of, like, super powerful teams in the AFC. So they're just a good team. They got a shot just like everybody else does.
I've decided the way I'm determining the good teams is if you have a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense in points per game, that would only have two AFC teams, the Chiefs and the Bills. The NFC teams are the Lions, Vikings, Eagles, and Packers.
Yeah, you just shocked me by saying that the Bills and the Chiefs are the two best teams in the AFC statistically. Oh my God. Yeah, that makes sense. I don't know. Good football teams to me score more points than the other team consistently. So I'm not I guess I am kind of an analytics guy, but not in football. I want to go see somebody, you know, just run through somebody else. That's what I like seeing in football. Just hard-nosed, tough football.
Did you ever consider football? I don't remember if we've asked you that.
I'm way too soft to play football. Yes, when I was a child, I played. I was the center on a flag football team. That's as far as I went. There was never any more football for me in the cards. I was a basketball guy. Basketball, baseball, theater. Just did it. Did it all except for football. I played some soccer. I was a goalie.
What was your theater? What was your best leading role?
I was Bilbo Baggins in The Hobbit when I was sixth grade.
Nice. You're too tall. Weren't you tall in sixth grade?
No, I was tall. I was small. I didn't hit a growth spurt until like 10th grade. So, any children out there listening while you're at school somehow, the growth spurt can come. Came for me in high school, and yeah, I was short in middle school though.
Vinny, when you look at the game this Friday against the Raiders, I don't think the Chiefs should play back-to-back bad games against bad opponents. I know as an athlete, you're like, hey, a win's a win, but like the Chiefs seemed down after that win. They did not feel good about beating the Panthers.
Yeah, and Mahomes' comments were funny. Like, let's blow some people out. I think that's what he said, at least. I don't know. I just saw a snippet, so I don't know what the full context was, but I thought it was funny. Yeah, I don't know. That's tough, right? Like, the Chiefs have earned our trust for the next the Chiefs have earned our trust until they get bounced in the playoffs. Until then, there's nothing to worry about. The Raiders don't really have a quarterback right now, so but sometimes that can end up being a good thing for you because nobody has any film on who's playing. Like, I don't know if Desmond Ritter's playing or Aiden O'Connell's playing, but it should be – you would think the path to victory for the Chiefs should be there by a lot. And I'm sure they're looking forward to that.
When you look at the NFC side, just out of curiosity, since I don't think we'll have time for your power rankings today, we'll get them next week, I promise. But
sorry, I was a little late. I was under this morning.
Yeah.
I didn't even think I'd make it, but I feel great right now. So,
feel great because the medicine really works well, or feel great because you're out of surgery and everything went well?
Mostly the second. I'm actually not. This is like the best I've ever felt after surgery. I'm not in any pain. I'm not even super, like, I only have one pill in me, not multiple, so I feel really good. But go ahead with your Lions question.
No, I was going to ask, is it just the Lions in the NFC as you think is the heavy favorite for the rest of the teams, or do you view other teams as real competition?
I don't know, man. The Eagles,
they looked good the other night.
Yeah, they did.
And they can, I mean, what do they always talk about in football, even if it's more old school, if you can run the football and stop the run, you got a shot.
Yes.
So, the Eagles are, they're a good team. And they just, I don't know, the Eagles' perception has changed so much since the beginning of the year because I think everybody thought their head coach was going insane, but they're quietly 9-2 right now, right? 9-2?
Saquon Barkley has a legitimate argument for MVP, I think.
I think it would be like the fun, like my vibes MVP vote would be Saquon Barkley for sure. If I was just voting on vibes, I don't know if you're allowed to do that when voting for the MVP because it just tends to go to the best quarterback, but I would be all in on Saquon winning the MVP. And it would be really funny because everybody would then dunk on the Giants, which I always think whenever you have an opportunity to just dunk on another franchise, I suppose you take it.
Vinny, last question, because then we got to get over to Ryan Fitzpatrick. I know, sorry. One NFL insider.
I took a picture with him one time at a Bills-Bengals playoff game.
I'll ask him did he know who you were?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, well, at least that's something worth bringing up. I wanted to ask you, how was Michael Massey's wedding?
It was fantastic. Michael Massey is a beautiful human being. His wife is more of a beautiful human being than him, but it was a very special wedding. Awesome week. There was a bunch of teammates down there. So it was a super special, like 4 or 5 days. Ceremony was awesome. Mike Sweeney officiated the wedding, which was super cool. And it was a beautiful ceremony. I've never been at a wedding where they served shots at the wedding before, though. That was a crazy move. But
bold.
Michael Massey just does it, guys. He just freaking does it, and he's the best. And it was a great wedding, and everybody was pumped to be there.
Vinny, we appreciate your time as always. Feel better post-surgery. Enjoy. Are you just in Kansas City for the night?
I'm leaving tonight, baby.
Ooh, wow.
I was able to
right
get on an earlier flight.
Right.
And then I don't know if I'll be on next week. We'll see if they have cell signal in Aruba. If they do, I'll be on.
Okay.
So,
if they don't, I'm gonna put Massey in as your backup and say you said nice things
about
him.
Yeah, that's perfect. I think he gets his office honeymoon Monday, so that's great.
Perfect timing. Vinny, appreciate the time. Thanks.
All right, thanks, guys.
That's our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, surprise dropping today. We got to take a break. It'll be a short one. Ryan Fitzpatrick joins us on the other side. Back in here on Cody and Gold, 96.5 The Fan. Happy to have our next guest join us. That's Ryan Fitzpatrick, former NFL quarterback, current NFL analyst who you can catch on Prime's coverage this weekend. Friday, Black Friday, the Las Vegas Raiders take on the Kansas City Chiefs, November 29th at 2 p.m., and Ryan Fitzpatrick will be helping along with that. How do you like working on Black Friday? You ever shop on those days, Ryan?
Oh, you better believe it. I do a lot of Black Friday shopping, and now with the synergies of Amazon, I'm all about it. We actually, last year was the first year we did it, but we have some fun stuff. You'll get some deals hopefully throughout the game that we can unlock. Andrew Whitworth and I, along with David Chang, will be doing a rib-eating contest.
Nice.
Among other things, just to kind of unlock some of these deals for you guys.
This isn't going to make any sense to you. We just had a current Kansas City Royals player on. His name's Vinny Pasquantino. Said he took a photo with you at a Bills game like a year ago. Do you remember taking a photo with like a 6'4" Italian guy in the last 2 years?
Was it shirt on or shirt off?
He is sometimes shirt off, so I cannot rule that out.
Yeah, if it was shirt off, then I'm sure I'll remember it. But yeah, I've done a lot of those, especially in Western New York.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty common. I guess, Ryan, I want to ask you about the Chiefs offense since that the defense is a point of concern, but at least this. I think this offense is better than last year's because I think they're more efficient. I think they're better at using their weapons. What do you make of the Chiefs offense this season?
Well, I'm really excited to be able to get a look on Friday because, you know, I was really – last year I got destroyed by Chiefs fans because they said they were either sitting at 5-1 or 6-1 and saying, look, they need to lose some games because – sometimes when you win, and right now they're sitting at 10-1, but sometimes you overlook some of those little things that need to be addressed. Some of those things get swept under the rug, and some of those issues really don't come to a head until you start losing games. So these last 3 weeks have been interesting for them, and, you know, blocking the kick versus Denver, obviously the loss versus Buffalo, and then, you know, a close game versus Carolina. There's some vulnerabilities there, but I just don't get it. I mean, this is what I thought last year as well, and they won the Super Bowl. So I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to getting a look at, you know, I played with DeAndre Hopkins, just kind of where he's at. He's really popped on film, and I think he's going to become a pretty reliable weapon for Patrick Mahomes as this continues to go.
Is it fun for players like you, these standalone games? Like Black Friday, right? All by yourself. 2 o'clock, Amazon Prime. You know every TV in the country is on you. As a player, you kind of got to get hyped, right, when you know nobody's seeing anything but you?
Yeah, you absolutely do. And this is, you know, it was fun. We started it last year. It's a new tradition. You know, we found another spot to put on football, to find an NFL game slot. And it is. And the Chiefs are used to it, right? The Chiefs, and being the standalone game, whether it's a Sunday night, Monday night, or a Thursday night game, like, this is what they do. I think this will be big for the Raiders. Obviously, it's been a really disappointing season for them. But games like this, and you saw it last year, you know, the Christmas game that they played where the Raiders knocked off the Chiefs, this all of a sudden kind of becomes their Super Bowl. This becomes, you know, a playoff game in the Raiders' mind because everybody's watching and they have a chance, you know, not to fix their season, but to knock off the champs. So this all of a sudden becomes a huge game for Vegas to come in and give them their best shot.
I guess you've played spoiler before, actually, to help Kansas City once. So I guess thank you. At least on that end, but like playing spoiler, like that's pretty much what you're playing for at this time of the year. If you're the Raiders, right? You kind of ruined Christmas Day for them last year, trying to ruin Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you really are. And you know, these division rivalries, these teams hate each other. They do. And I'll say back to your comment on, you know, helping Kansas City out and helping them, you know, get the home field advantage and the bye and all that in the playoffs when they won their first Super Bowl in this run. It's so much fun because still in the airport, I'll get stopped and Kansas City fans will thank me, which is a super cool deal. But yeah, we knocked off the Patriots in the last week of the season to give Kansas City the first round bye.
Like, I know that, like, it's so funny because, like, inevitably it didn't change anything about your season other than just making theirs worse, which I, you know, in a lot of ways, I think that fandom is underappreciated in that way, Ryan. And I guess, I don't know if a player perspective this matters from a rivalry standpoint. Like, I don't love sports just because I like rooting for my team to win. I love sports because I like watching the failure of the teams I hate.
Okay, I like that. I mean, yes, I grew a strong hatred for the Patriots over my career. I played them, I believe, 14 times and only won 3 games against them. It was, you know, they're always a really tough opponent, and it was always an accomplishment to be able to beat them. But with so much riding on that game for them and nothing riding on it for us when I was in Miami, you find reasons to play. And one of those reasons is to play spoiler, which, you know, the Raiders are looking to do right now.
When you look at what the Aiden O'Connell last year versus this, you probably haven't seen a lot of Aiden O'Connell because he hasn't played a lot over the time, but I always kind of viewed Minshew as like the kind of guy who would just win 1 or 2 games a year that people didn't expect. I think this game on Friday got a lot harder with Aiden O'Connell for them. I assume you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it's going to come down to that. I think it's going to come down to, you know, if Vegas wins this game, they're going to have to make a couple huge plays on defense. The special teams are going to be a factor. And they've got to be able to just possess the ball on offense. And so, no matter who is out there at quarterback, I don't think that's the danger of this team and this rivalry. I think it's, you know, Max Crosby wrecking a game, Jack Jones being overly aggressive and intercepting a pass, you know, getting a fumble or two when they shouldn't have. Those are the things that I would be concerned about if I was the Chiefs.
When you, like, so you had said, hey, look, it's a team that's not playing very well, and we know that. If the Chiefs, let's say, win again, but it's another ugly one, like they make it close or it takes a last-minute drive, similar to the Panthers. I know you said, hey, last year they won the Super Bowl, even though we all had our doubts. Do you look at Kansas City even a little bit worse if they struggle to beat a bad team 2 times in a row versus 1?
No, because it's the same thing. They're still winning, right? I mean, it's what they do. And if you look at just the picture of the AFC in general right now, the Chargers have to win games in a very specific way. You know, and so I think they have a tougher road to beating the Chiefs. The Ravens and the Bills are the 2 teams I think that pose problems for them. The Bills obviously beat them in the regular season and first game of the year, the Chiefs beat Baltimore, but those are the 2 teams I think I'd be most concerned about if I was the Chiefs in the playoffs.
All right, last question I've got for you. Since you've got this game on Amazon and Black Friday, you said you're doing a rib-eating contest with a man bigger than you. Give me a reason to bet. Let's say I made a side bet with a friend and you're the underdog. Why should I choose you in the rib-eating contest?
See, I've always been in a quarterback's body with an offensive line mentality. So if you've ever been to Amarillo, Texas, and seen the free 72-ounce steak, if you can finish it in under an hour, it was one of my biggest and most impressive accomplishments of my life. 72-ounce steak, baked potato, three shrimp,
what?
A salad, a side salad, and a dinner roll, all in under an hour. Finished the whole thing in 49 minutes, signed the wall, got a free T-shirt, got a free meal, and got out of there.
Do you still have the T-shirt?
You better believe it.
I like it. Ryan, we really appreciate it. Looking forward to your coverage this Friday on Amazon Prime, Chiefs versus Raiders this weekend. Thanks so much for the time.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll see you.
That's Ryan Fitzpatrick, Chiefs hero, by the way. Did you hear him? He said when he walks through the Kansas City airport, Kansas City fans still thank him.
How about
that? You weren't here, Drew. He won the Week 17 game against the Patriots, which the Chiefs needed to be the number one seed in the year they first won the Super Bowl under Patrick Mahomes. So it was not nothing, right?
Yeah.
They won that game. It put the Chiefs in the one seed. They only had to play a couple of games to get on their way to the Super Bowl, in which they inevitably won. It's like the butterfly effect. What happens, right? Hypothetically, if they don't get that thing. Also, I can't believe Ryan Fitzpatrick once ate a 72-ounce steak in 49 minutes and a baked potato and three shrimp, he said. Did you hear that? It's nuts.
It's something about those athletes. I wonder how many calories that would be.
10,000? I don't know.
Well, because I'm going to say for him to eat it in 49 minutes, 10,000 is what Michael Phelps would eat in a day, if I remember correctly. When he's training, probably he would eat 10,000 calories every single day. And if you think, I don't know how much that is, but 72 ounces. How big is that, Cody? If you hand-wise, like we're both on the stream, a 6-ounce steak after being cut and cooked is maybe like that.
Yeah.
So we're talking, it's like
72. That's the size of your chest.
Yeah.
The other thing that I did think was interesting,
that's crazy,
at least from his perspective, is I'd asked him, hey, because I told you early in the show, like, I don't think you can play back-to-back bad games against two bad teams. And he's like, yeah, I mean, I get it, but it's the same thing. It's like, they're not different, he's saying, for winning two games in a row in a similarly ugly fashion to two bad teams. It's the same as losing to the Panthers. You've just done it twice now instead of once. But in a lot of ways, I feel like it's more telling. When you consistently can't do those things.
Mm.
72 ounces, man. I can't
figure it. Well, and the baked potato. That's the... I mean, he's just adding on the carbs there.
Yeah, I can't imagine. What a great back-to-back guest combo, you know? Vinny, then Ryan Fitzpatrick.
It doesn't get much better than
two
that.
Two Kansas City icons, you know? We didn't even get a react to Vinny.
That is a funny...
Haley Lewis just sent us a text, our guest from the fan club. She said there's 5,500 calories in the steak alone.
Okay, so...
5,500? He like weighs like 210. What do you think Ryan Fitzpatrick weighed when he played? 200? 210?
Yeah. About.
Like a normal quarterback size?
It's just something about those the athletes, man. Like if you just look at, or just people in general who have bigger stomach capacity, I guess, to be able to eat those things. Like me, like my brother weighs about the same thing that I do. I don't have
and you guys are pretty slight. Yeah.
Yes. But, like no, but he has a bigger stomach capacity than me. Like he can... Like, if my brother goes to McDonald's, he'll get, like, two McChicken sandwiches, a large fry, a McFlurry, and a soda. I'm only good, like, give me a 6-count McNugget, a small fry, and a drink, and I'm good, and I'm full.
Here are the challenge rules. I looked it up from the steakhouse. Eat the entire meal in 1 hour. If any of the meal is not consumed or swallowed, you lose. I'm looking at a picture of the steak, dude. It's the entire size of a dinner plate. Before the time starts, you'll be allowed to cut into the steak and take one bite. If the steak tastes good and is cooked to your satisfaction, we will start the time amongst accepted approval. Once you have started, you are not allowed to stand up, leave your table, or have anyone touch the meal. You will be disqualified if anyone assists you in cutting, prepping, or preparing you to eat your meat. This is your contest. You do not have to eat the fat, but we will judge this. So, like, if you leave a little bit too much meat on that piece of fat, they're gonna judge you for it. Should you become ill, the contest is over, you lose. Please use the container provided as necessary. You are required to pay the full amount up front. If you win, we refund you 100%. You must sit at the table we assign. If you do not win the steak challenge, you are welcome to take the leftovers with you. Thank God, I guess.
Nice, nice. At least
no consumption or sharing of the leftovers is allowed in the restaurant once the contest is over. So you can't, like, I can't order this steak and be like, hey, let's all eat this steak. You can take it with you, but it's not like a table meal, if that makes sense.
If you're there for the contest and the contest only is what it sounds like.
If you fail to complete the challenge, you pay the full $72. 72 ounce?
I'm going
to
be honest.
$72 actually for a 72-ounce steak is a pretty good deal.
I was about to say, you're at least getting your money's worth, regardless of if you finish it or not.
He is one of 93,849 people have ever attempted this. He is one of 10,351 winners. So they list them off by decade.
It's been going on that long?
Yeah. 60 to 6. They have a list of people who completed it from 60 to 89. And then it's like the 90s, the 2000s, the 2010s, and the 2020s.
So this thing started in 1960, and only 10,000 people have done it.
How do they not have a former NFL quarterback? I mean, yeah, dude, they're showing this like photo of this guy named Bob Lee standing in a chair of his attempt.
Bob Lee, like the ESPN guy?
I don't know, dude. There's like a couple of like six shooters on the table. That's how far back this contest goes.
Oh.
So for some reason, you're ever in Amarillo. Yeah. You can try the world famous steak competition at the Big Texan.
Someone said, "Congratulations! You ate all that food. Your prize is severe stomach pain for days."
Yeah, man, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine how your body would feel after
you
that.
Wouldn't want to eat.
I've treated my body poorly a few times over the years, right? Mostly alcohol related, but like 72-ounce steak.
If we're being really critical, we all treat our bodies poorly every single day by going out to eat and all that other stuff. Like, I just mentioned McDonald's. Yeah. You're not doing the best thing for yourself.
No, no. But it's not a 72-ounce steak. There are degrees of this.
Correct.
We don't have to be...
Are there levels to the how it's cooked, or is it just cooked the same way? Like, can you ask for a medium rare?
They said you get to decide if it's cooked to your liking. I mean, it is a 72-ounce steak. I imagine it's kind of hard to get it, like... medium rare the whole way through. Maybe I'm wrong, but like feels like the ends would be at least a little more cooked on a steak that size.
Yeah, you would think so. How long? Okay, so forget an hour. How long does it take you to eat that 72-ounce steak? I guess days if you want to include I'm going to eat it. I'm going to eat some of it, and then I'm going to take it home. And
like,
then I'm
I think
eat
traditionally I might get like, let's say a 10-ounce. I think 5 ounces is like a pretty normal size for like a filet. I'm certain I've eaten close to like a 10 or a 12-ounce strip or something probably in a sitting, right? It's been a while, but like I don't get steak a lot, but let's say I've probably consumed that somewhere along the way. Half a day. I mean, if nothing else, if I have to eat nothing else, you know, like between a couple of meals, like if you gave me all breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I could eat it, right? But I'm not getting it done in under 6.
I agree with you. I think I'd be able to get it done if you gave me breakfast, lunch, dinner, split it up. Because I feel like a part of you wants to just have more than just steak, you know? You want to have something else, but in order to finish it, Lance thinks he could finish it from the text line. I think I can knock out the challenge. I don't know, man. That's...
good luck. He did in 49 minutes, man. He had 11 minutes to spare. That's even more impressive. All right, we got to get to an early break because we came back early for Ryan Fitzpatrick. When we come back, Joshua Briscoe, he's going to sit in with us for the next 2 hours. We're going to talk about where this team is right now following a close win against the Panthers.